You're listening to SBS News.
The government says it will limit the number of international student commencements to 270,000 next year, with 145,000 places for publicly funded universities. Minister Jason Clare says the caps will ensure the sector is sustainable into the future, while the government tries to limit overseas migration to Australia after a 73% increase in arrivals in the last financial year. Universities have strongly opposed the creation of caps, saying it will hurt their institutions and the broader Australian economy. SBS Western Australia correspondent Chris Tan spoke to Yvonne Yeo, the CEO of AIWT, the Australian Institute of Workplace Training, based in Perth, which delivers courses both to international and domestic students.
Tell us how your organisation works. How is it different from a standard public university?
So we are a vet college, and in the simplest terms, we are like TAFE, but privately owned. So we issue qualifications, certificates and diplomas and advanced diplomas.
And for people watching this over in Sydney, tell us where you are and how many of these organisations or centres are there in Perth?
We're in Perth, Western Australia, right in the heart of it, we're in West Perth.
What do you think is your purpose? What makes you want to do this job?
So for us, we've always been about employment, be it international students or domestic students. The aim is that once they are qualified or graduate with us, that they are able to gain the jobs that they want. So that is our main purpose. This organization has been was founded in 2003, so it's more than 20 years now. My involvement started in 2017. My background has always been in banking and finance, so I was really new to this industry. And over the last 7 years, it has been a roller coaster ride, up and down and everything. So my purpose getting in was I have always believed that, you know, education is a time-honored profession. I was an international student myself, and so I thought that I could contribute and I could, you know, manage well in this industry.
Tell us about that email you received today. What does it mean? Can you make it understandable for us?
We're yet to try to understand it ourselves, but there's been a lot of rumors in the past few months about, you know, caps and 40-60 ratios, things like that. So the letter today that came to us did not have that 40-60 cap. Instead, we were given as a whole of Australia a total of 270,000 international students for 2025. It seems to be applicable only to university undergraduate students and vocational colleges like ourselves. How it's divided is still to be seen. Vets about 95,000 and universities 145,000. But within the 95,000 that applies to us, there is further divide about if you previously had 80% international or less, whether it's 2023 numbers or whether it's 2024 numbers. We are yet to see the actual letter that tells us what we've been allocated.
Is there enough time for you to plan?
Well, if what we read that, you know, our numbers are based on 2024, the first problem is 2024 is not finished yet, so I don't know where they're getting the numbers from. That's the first thing. Secondly, if they are waiting for the numbers and are going to announce it anytime between now and the 1st of January 2025, we don't have much time to plan.
What sort of impacts does it have on you in terms of planning, in terms of your economic outlook, in terms of wanting to attract students, trying to market, trying to tell staff as well about the future?
It's just really, really hard when you can't plan, you know, as a leader of an organization. You know, it's my job to put in place strategies and plans, right? And I can't possibly do that if I myself am not sure what's coming in the next 6 months. You know, I would love to, in my past, you know, experience, we plan 2-3 years ahead. You know, in this industry, it seems to be not even 3 to 6 months do we know what's happening. And it's really hard because not only do we have to tell us, you know, the key stakeholders are huge. You have your staff, you have the agents from overseas, you have the students from overseas, you have the parents from the students overseas, right? How do you do any planning? You know, for students that are overseas, you can't put them on hold and expect them to wait to come to Australia. We are facing huge processing delays at the moment, right? So even when they talk about 2024 numbers, are they talking about things that they've approved? Because we have in the pipeline huge numbers waiting for the processing. So if you're going to judge us based on what immigration is doing, I don't think it's really fair.
And when you get interested students from overseas reaching out, let's say now, after you've heard of this announcement, you have to obviously push back on them because you know there's this cap that's coming. How do you feel? Do you feel like you're being blamed for this decision?
Definitely, because, you know, we you know, have students apply for our course. We judge them whether they will be genuine and whether they're good to come to Australia. But we don't actually issue the visas. The ones that are issuing the visas is immigration. So over the past year or two, you know, whenever there's talk about huge numbers of international students and all that kind of thing, fair enough, there's a growth and we're happy about that. But ultimately, the decision to bring these students, you know, allow them in, it's not ours, it's immigration.
And we hear it all the time in the media, people, industries screaming for workers, not enough are going through university or even international students coming through to fill those jobs. And when they are here, they, you know, obviously housing shortages and all that sort of other issues. Reducing or putting a cap on this now, is that going to help any of our construction industry, our nurses, our hospitals, regional areas?
I think it's really, really sad that the international students are being made the scapegoat of a lot of these issues. We know that there are a lot of numbers being thrown around about how international students are taking up accommodation, you know, and when we, if you look at stats, and these are all public information, they don't take up as much as what the, you know, the publications or the media says, right? And don't forget, these students are the ones that are working in roles and jobs that probably our own Australian students or people don't want to work in. So, for example, we work a lot with aged care providers. I know one of the partners that we work with, 80% of their carers are actually from the international, either migrants or international students. If you take away these numbers, who's going to look after our grandmothers, grandfathers, especially if we expect quality care? So I think that's going to be bad. And back to accommodation, who's going to build new houses? We're always complaining about the demand being too high. Someone should be starting to talk about supply. Who's going to increase the supply to meet the demands? So, yeah.
We know a lot of public universities, the big ones, rely on international students for funding. With this cap now being put in place, is there going to be a flow-on effect? Because obviously universities now have to find other ways to fund that money, and that money will obviously come from taxpayers and, yeah, Australian students.
International students, we know, pay a lot of school fees, right? And that contributes to universities being able to have space or places for our own domestic students. So if you take away this income, does that, and quite rightfully you asked the question, does that mean that our universities have to cut down places for our own students, or is the government willing to up their funding? So I don't know the answer, but yes, I'm sure it's going to be an effect.
Australia has a very good reputation, as you would know, for university, for international students coming here. Would this have a bit of a dent on our reputation?
Definitely, because as I said before, you know, we have a lot of key stakeholders. The industry has a lot of key stakeholders overseas. They're really disappointed because the agents or the schools or the students or the parents are now thinking twice about sending their children here to study because, one, are they going to even get their visa? And because the fees are now so high, it's been up to, like, I think $1,600 for a student visa, non-refundable, by the way. Is that a risk they want to take? We are not the only education providers in the world. You've got all the others and very much upcoming ones as well that are now taking the space of being the preferred education provider.
Australia as a whole, geopolitically, you know, obviously trying to build relationships with our Indo-Pacific neighbours, Indonesia, Philippines, even China, for example, as an extent. We know there's a bit of a relationship trying to build and trying to sort of repair over the years, but doing something like these, would it hurt our relationship with places like China, do you think?
In the letter itself that we received today, they talked about diversity, okay? So I think we have to be mindful, is are we trying to be a more diversified education industry, or is this all politically driven, right? Because if we want to be as diversified as possible, then immigration has to obviously, when you process, think about diversity, right? Or if it's all politically driven, then of course the numbers are going to look different. again, if you have the chance, have a look at the stats that are available publicly, probably issued by immigration themselves. Look at the increase and where is this increase in numbers coming from, and you'll see that it's from one particular region, which I shall not name. I'll let you decide yourself, okay? But they're all coming from one region. So where they are talking about diversity, immigration is issuing student visas in particular to one region, and unfortunately, that's causing a bit of problems.